Hello, welcome to the Friday, April 15th, 2016 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. I posted earlier a quick diary about HTTP key pinning and some of the issues to consider here. One that I was actually confused about in the past was what to do if your key gets compromised and you have to swap keys. Well, since the pin is really just a hash of the public key, what you can do is you can have a standby key that you create ahead of time. You add that particular hash to your pin header, and this way you're ready in case you have to swap keys. You have that standby key that hopefully you kept in a safe location. In addition, browsers will actually not consider a key pin header if there's only one hash in it, so you need at least two hashes in your header anyway, otherwise they're being ignored, and that's in part to make sure that you do have a backup key configured. And if you still have QuickTime installed on a Windows system, it's time to uninstall. The Ceridae initiative released today two vulnerabilities in QuickTime on Windows, and Apple's statement is that the product will no longer be supported, so there will be no patch for these vulnerabilities, and well, you should uninstall it. Has been sort of coming a long time. Support for QuickTime on Windows has been sporadic the last year or so. The last update, however, was published in January. And VMware did release an update for its client integration plugin. That's an issue if you're running vCenter Server, vCloud Director, or using the vRealize Automation Identity Appliance. In this case, it's possible for an attacker to play man in the middle because sessions are not really dealt with safely. So update, not much else you can do in this case. And I talked a couple times in the past about various efforts to write decryption software for ransomware. One of the issues sometimes is, how do you know what particular ransomware you are infected with, in particular for users that are not very technical? Now, there's a new project by the Malware Hunter team, which has written and has contributed to some of these decryption tools, and that's a website to identify ransomware. You either upload the ransom note or a sample encrypted file, and it then tries to figure out what version of ransomware you are infected with and if there is a tool available to decrypt your files. Interesting project. Sadly, the URL is not really easy to spell out, id-ransomware.malwarehunterteam.com, but I will have the full URL in the show notes. OS X antivirus company Intego came up with yet another example of a fake flash installer that is offered to Mac users that will actually then install Adware. We see these stories pop up about once a month. The scheme is always the same, where a user is being told that flash is out of date, and then they're asked to install this supposed flash update. Overall, not much you can really do against this other than user education and tighten down Gatekeeper. In this case, the malware was signed with a valid Apple developer certificate, but if you only allow applications from the App Store, then of course this would not be installed. Of course, that's sometimes too restrictive for users. For OS X, you can also enable automatic flash updates, but then again, these fake updates are being offered whether or not you do have the proper version of flash or not. And Google released Chrome 50, which fixes 20 different security vulnerabilities, two of which are rated critical. One important change: Windows XP and Vista are no longer supported in this version. It has never been a good idea to rely on long random URLs in order to hide content, in particular if users then use URL shorteners to turn this big long and hard to guess URL into something much shorter, like 5 or 6 characters, as you typically see with URL shorteners. It's certainly somewhat possible to scan the entire space of shortened URLs, and as some researchers now figured out, well, you'll find some confidential data if you do so. Overall, nothing really new. I think this paper was mostly picked up by the press because it does mention cloud services in the headline. But overall, this just refers to these long run random URLs that you sometimes have with services like Dropbox. But the generic problem here is that you have a fixed URL, you don't ask for any username and a password, and then you turn this long random URL into a random but very short URL. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.